So what were they called when you were in high school?
Nerds? Geeks? You see, it depends on how old you are, where you grew up, but in high school there was always them, right? Maybe they were called dunces or dweebs. Maybe clods, nitwits, nincompoops, numbskulls, lame brain, schmucks, schmooze, wonks. Those are all real names of those people. Maybe you had other names. In general, we could give them all the name outsider. I remember that sometimes terrifying walk into the high school cafeteria. Terrifying because there were often moments when I didn't know where I quite fit in, and I'd look and I'd see, well, over there at the jock table, you know, the athletes, and well, there's the cheerleaders. I knew I didn't belong there. And then over here are the nerds and the, you know. Where do you go? Where do you belong? Where do you fit in? Where is it safe? Where will you not be an outsider? You remember that? My guess is that you remember it very well, that some of you were the outsider. That you did sit at the nerd table or whatever they called it. And others of you sat at tables that laughed at the outsiders. Oh yes, we were so young and foolish then. But then we grow up and we become adults. And yet, still some of the same stuff goes on. And today, in our adult lives, there are outsiders, aren't there? Do you think very much about how outsiders might feel? I think a lot about it, actually. I wonder if people of color feel like outsiders in a predominantly white society. I wonder if people who don't speak English very well feel like an outsider in a society that has most of the people speaking English. I wonder if poor people feel like outsiders in a middle-class community. I wonder if older people feel like outsiders in a youth-driven culture. I wonder if gay people feel like outsiders in a primarily straight culture. I wonder if homeless people feel like outsiders in a world where most people have houses. I wonder if some of you feel like outsiders. No, I don't really wonder that, because I know that some of you feel like outsiders right now. Like you don't fit in. Like you're not sure you belong. Do you think very much about the outsiders? Well, Jesus did. In fact, the biblical record tells us that Jesus not only thought about them, he spent a lot of his time with them, he sought them out. His preferred group was a group of outsiders, wherever he found them. Now, in those days, outsiders were categorized maybe a little differently, maybe not. But there was always some outsider, somebody beyond the regular crowd. And Jesus liked those people. He went to them. And what Catherine read a moment ago in the scripture tells us a story of when he went along and he saw Levi. Now, Levi was Jewish, and he was sitting at the tax booth. And literally, this was a mobile tax assessor's office, put up where he, Levi, a Jew, representing the hated Roman-occupying army, would collect taxes for the Romans from his own people. Therefore, he was despised and hated by his Jewish community, who saw him as a traitor, extortionist, and someone definitely on the outside. Levi, we know as Matthew. Matthew, who was one of the 12 disciples. Because what happened is that Jesus walked along, saw Levi sitting at the tax booth, and says, "Come on, come on, come with me. I want you to follow me." And Levi gets up, sensing, seeing, intuitively, spiritually, knowing, we wonder, that this is indeed the Messiah, the Son of God, and he walks away from a certain income and a certain social space in his society, and he follows this wandering preacher. And he accepts that he is the Christ. And the gospel record then tells us that as Levi's following Jesus, he wants to do something. He's so excited, as so many people are when they finally find the source of life, the Christ. He wants to have a party. It's a great thing to do. So he has a banquet. And who does he invite? It's a banquet for Jesus, but he invites his friends. Well, who are his friends? They're all outsiders. They're the only people who would associate with him. And so, picture a backyard barbecue with Jesus and Levi and lots of tax collectors, prostitutes, lepers, outsiders, and Jesus having a ball, hanging out with all the outsiders. You see, that's where Jesus wanted to be. Jesus loved the outsiders because he came with a message, a very special message, especially for them. Now, the Pharisees are around. They certainly aren't invited to the party, but they're the snoops. They're the religious right. They're the people who know they've got it perfectly correct. So they have questions about what's going on here. This is a Jewish rabbi, Jesus. This is a Jewish man. And they're hanging out, and they go and say, "Wait a minute, why is Jesus, why are you hanging out with all these people? They're unclean." Do you know that the Pharisees, whose name, by the way, means the separated ones, that'll tell you something, right? The Pharisees were so rigid in their religious doctrine that they believed that even if the hem of their very fine clergy robes that they wore, so everyone could see how special they were, that even if a portion of their beautiful clergy robes touched a man like Levi, they were ritually unclean and had to go through a complete cleansing process. That's how separated they were. That's how outside Levi, prostitutes, any others were, if they didn't go the way the Pharisees wanted them to. "Why are you hanging out with them?" the Pharisees charge him, looking for a way, as they perpetually did, to trap Jesus in order to get rid of this troublemaker. And Jesus gives a great answer. He said, "Does someone who is healthy need a doctor? Well, no. It's the sick who need a doctor. I've come not for those who are healthy that are well. I've come for those who are lost, who are sick." Indeed, he's saying that it's the way of God's love through him that people like Levi and others find their way back to God's love. That's why Jesus goes to the outsiders, because they're the ones who need to find their way back.
That's our Jesus hanging out
with outsiders, welcoming the outsiders. Do you know any outsiders today? One of the problems, the challenges, sometimes the sin of the church and Christians is we don't. We just kind of hang out with our own people. We prefer to be with like-minded people. That we get a little skittish when we see a homeless person sleeping on the street, or someone comes up and begs for some money from you, or someone with a reputation that's pretty bad comes near you. No, we sometimes sin just by not wanting to be around outsiders. But this Jesus of ours, this Lord of ours, went to outsiders and wants us to go to outsiders. The church is meant to reach out those doors to wherever people who feel outside may be, and to invite them in. And maybe you, some of you, are feeling like that today. Maybe you're feeling like an outsider. Maybe you've committed a sin and you don't think you can come back to God because you've done something pretty bad. Maybe you've just wandered away from God and not paid attention for a long time and you feel like you're really outside of the love and grace and arms of God. And maybe society's making you feel like an outsider. Maybe you just realize that people are looking at you and treating you bad for things you don't deserve. Maybe life's just not worked out so well. Maybe you're just different from everybody else. Whatever it is, there's some of you here today that are feeling like an outsider. I know that. And the question is, what does this Jesus have for you and all of us? Because you see, I think there's a part of every one of us, me too, who at times feels like an outsider. You feel maybe like you don't belong, you don't fit in, you don't understand, you don't know enough. And that's where we come to this very special day. Because see, Jesus went to the outsiders back then and he goes to them today. And Jesus is the one who invites everybody, whether you're feeling all the way outside or even just a little, to come in. To come in to his presence, to come to his table. There's a United Methodist pastor by the name of Lorenza Andrade Smith. Lorenza's an ordained United Methodist pastor, just like I am. She serves out of the Texas Annual Conference. She's 42 years old. She is very slight of build. And about 2 years ago, she went to her bishop and asked for a specific appointment. Now, in our system, it's the bishop who decides and appoints pastors. Pastors don't ask for appointments. But she said to her bishop, I have a passion on my heart. I want you to appoint me to be a pastor to the poor and homeless. I want to live on the streets. And that bishop was wise enough to make it possible that her official appointment is to the poor and to the homeless. She sold her car. Most of her belongings, she filled her backpack with a few necessities and a bedroll. And Lorenza began a life living on the street with the outsiders. And she tells the story of one evening having the opportunity to go into a homeless shelter to sleep there. Most of the time, she sleeps on her bedroll on the streets with the homeless and the poor. But this particular night, she had the opportunity to go to a homeless shelter. She had her backpack and security things being what they are. At the door of the homeless shelter, they wanted to go through her backpack. Fine. They did. They saw her belongings, and then they took out her portable clergy communion set, which all pastors have. And they looked at it, and then they said to her, you cannot stay here tonight because this could be used, this communion set could be used as a weapon. Do you get the meaning? What one person saw as a human weapon, possibly to hurt others, really represents the power that Holy Communion has to bring outsiders in. Because a weapon is something of power. And Holy Communion, the table of our Lord, has the power to bring all outsiders in. Because Jesus invites everyone to this table today. So no matter where you feel on the outsider-insider scale, you belong here. You're invited here. You're welcome here. That is the power of Holy Communion. Indeed, it is a weapon. It is God's powerful weapon to bring us to Him. And so, today, you're invited. All are invited. All are welcome. You see, there's no outsiders at God's table. We're all welcome. Amen. I invite us now to begin preparing our hearts for the receiving of Holy Communion, as you will see in a moment on the screen, as well as on page 12 of your hymnal, the liturgy that will prepare us for this sacred moment. There is no microphone. Let me use mine.
Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Will you join in the confession that you'll find on page 12 and I believe on the screen there as well? Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
And we continue with our great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God,
Let us pray our Lord's Prayer together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.